It's game day for the Two-Tone Blue. This is NFL Pregame with Jarrett Stillman, forever receiver Chris Sanders, and Mark Howard. Brought to you by E2 Roofing, FanDuel Sportsbook, Freedom Tire Guys, Hillside Medical Clinic, Harman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Social Furniture, and TriStar Moving. NFL Pregame starts now on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Week 5 is here. It's the Titans. It's the Jags. We are live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It is the pregame show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, Mark Howard with us. And, of course, the pregame show presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel Sportsbook, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Ooh.
Titans at 2-2, the team they lost to last week, the New York Jets, getting curb stomped in London right now by Arthur Smith, Dean Pease, and the Falcons, 17-0 in the second quarter. That is not a good sign, and that's where I want to start today's show, guys. Mm-hmm. We talked all last week about the Jets and a letdown, and when I said, hey, I'm going to pick the Jets to win, neither of you guys went crazy, which I was a little surprised by. The Titans drop a game they should not have dropped to a team they should not have lost to. Now, they've got injuries, we all know. They go into the game this week, Chris Sanders, against a team that they should not lose to. But as we saw last week, anything can happen in the National Football League, and it's certainly not a comforting feeling after 4 weeks of how the Titans have played.
You know, just looked at last week. I think the disappointing thing about the whole game is a lot of missed opportunities that they had. I mean, they were in the red zone, what, two of five, efficiency, and all those things. They just didn't play well overall. And when you have a team like the Jets just kind of licking their wounds and, you know, trying to figure out their identity, the quarterback play is terrible, the quarterback hasn't thrown a touchdown in two or three games, and you go in the Jets and you lay an egg, I mean, it's just really, really disappointing, because you're a team that's supposed to go in there and dominate a team like that. And I know it's the NFL. I know it's great and everything. But at the end of the day, the Tennessee Titans are the better team, and they didn't show it when they was going against the Jets. That's kind of why I'm disappointed.
It cracks me up that the Titans are the team in crisis when the other team is still dealing, with the trauma and controversy of its coach, you know, being somewhere that he shouldn't have been. Yeah.
And having his fingers in a place that they
shouldn't
have been.
Well, you know, giving some girls buttocks, not his wife, the Charmin test.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know.
The what?
The Charmin test, the squeezable soft Charmin test. But the Titans – last week, they obviously, you know, didn't play well offensively. They were not good on third downs. They gave a young quarterback life. Mm-hmm. You know, we know all that. But the other thing, too, is, you know, they've got to turn the page. Right. They're still in good shape in terms of the AFC South. None of the other three teams look very good. The Colts, they did finally win. But you know, you've got to keep things in context. Last week's loss was terrible. It was, losing to the Jets, carries a certain scarlet letter and all that. But you've got to look at yourself and say, you know what? We're 2-2. Mm-hmm. We're still in first place in the division. So let's turn the page, move forward, and play against a Jacksonville team that has issues of its own.
You know, just kind of listen to what Tannehill, I'll listen to kind of his interviews this week. He said this. He said, we're an inconsistent team. And when your leader –
You needed him to tell you that?
No, I'm just saying in general, when the leader of your team says that, I mean, he says we're inconsistent, that means somebody's got to step up and make sure they're consistent each and every week. And we understand it's the NFL. You're going against teams, and you're going to have a matchup that's not beneficial to you. But at the end of the day, when you're the Tennessee Titans, when you're a better team, you're supposed to go in there and beat that team. So, you know, I want to see if the Tennessee Titans are going to be a mature team to say, you know what, we lost against the Jets. We laid an egg against the Jets. Let's come against the Jaguars and say, you know what, we're better on offense. We're better on defense. We're better on, not special teams, but, you know, we just got to come in and do some things.
I'm going to say this. I'm worried the Titans suck.
Oh, dare
like,
you go.
I said I don't think they do. I said I'm worried that they do. Because you said, Tannehill said they're an inconsistent team. Are they inconsistent or are they just not that good? Because outside of one half at Seattle, they were awful the first game against Arizona. I didn't think they were particularly good against Indianapolis, playing with a bunch of minor league players with a bunch of injuries in week three, and I thought they looked horrendous last week. Now, in the NFL, I've always said, hey, don't get too worked up about September football. This is October football. Mm-hmm. And so while I've seen teams, every year there's a team that makes the playoffs that the next year is no good. Look at Seattle. Nobody thought Absolutely. They'd be 2-3. That's your best win right now. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, this is a veteran team. This is a team that pays guys a lot of money to produce. This is an offensive line that has been together that went to the AFC Championship game minus the right tackle, and he was the left tackle last year. I mean, this is embarrassing, what I feel like the Titans can't do yet, and they lose to a Jet team that's now down 17-0 in London to a terrible Falcon team. I have got to be honest with you, and I said it on my show this week. This is it for me with the Titans this year.
Stop it.
You lose today.
Stop.
You lose today,
Mark,
and you suck.
Mark, how many games have we played?
I mean, seriously?
If they lose today, they suck.
Oh, my goodness. Please. Stop it.
How? You 2-3 and you lose to the Jets in Jacksonville?
You've got 12 games to go, Jared.
13. You still stink?
Get off the ledge.
Does Atlanta stink right now?
There are various levels of stink. And you look around the league, and most teams have issues right now. Most teams are not in a panic mode, but most teams' fan bases are near panic mode. Yeah, I mean, this coaches are treating this season even more so like a marathon. Mm-hmm. They're erring on the side of caution when it comes to injuries because they know that 17-game slate is going to manifest itself in a bad way. And you look at the Titans team that in a lot of ways is like somebody spending too much on their credit cards and the bill's going to be paid. And I'm talking about with Derrick Henry. You look at Derrick Henry's workload right now, I'm more worried about that than I am the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I'm more worried about the fact that, you know, Derrick Henry could have almost 500 carries in a 17-game season,
which
to me would render him toast. I mean, I don't think there's any way his body can take that. So to me, that's the problem. In terms of protections and everything like that, I think eventually they'll get it right. But, yeah, I think that Lawan, to a certain degree, has regressed a little bit. Yeah. Saffold has been hurt. I think Ben Jones has regressed. And I think Ben Jones is just about ready for retirement.
Oh, he's always hurt. Yeah.
To be honest with you. Well, but he's played through it.
No, yeah, no, for sure.
So, and the guys on the right side haven't played very well either. So, I think this offensive line historically has gone through some bad periods, but they've gotten their act together. And the Titans as a team seem collectively able to get off the mat and play well the week after, you know they give you, you know, one of those puzzling losses. So, The Titans are all over the place on a lot of things, but I don't think they're any different than most of the teams in the NFL.
Yeah, but
the stuff about firing coordinators, give me a break.
Stop it.
That's just not going to happen. This team has so many injuries, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but you just looking at the overall body of work, it's all fixable. And the reason why I say it's fixable, because you look at the last game, the reason why the Tennessee Titans offense was kind of struggling, in my opinion, is number one, you have a delay of game, fixable. Bad snap by Brewer, fixable. Sack in the red zone, fixable. Drop passes, fixable. Those are things you can fix. But the thing that I love about the Tennessee Titans right now is their attitude is still in a positive way. I mean, we're not looking at that. Yeah, we don't like the loss to the Jets. Yeah, they're upset that they made mistakes. Yeah, they're mad that they dropped passes. All those things. But that at the end of the day, the attitude is still the same. The vision is still the same. And the identity is still the same. So if you keep that intact, then I think you can build on winning some games on the teams that are coming up.
I'll argue the other side of the table on this. Now, I'm not saying that I'm totally down on the Titans because I think they'll win today. And I think that what they really need to do is they need to go to Jacksonville and they need to just
Absolutely.
Kick their butt. I mean, that they need to go in there. They need to win this game 35-10 or something like that, make it easy on themselves. I'm not saying they'll do that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that's what they need to do. But right now, outside of Derrick Henry might be the best player in the NFL right now.
Right.
Outside of Derrick Henry, what can you rely on with this football team? The offensive line is not playing well. The receivers are hurt, and they're not playing well, dropping passes, missing assignments, things of that magnitude. The defense is allowing busted coverages for touchdowns. It feels like once a game. You're not really, outside of Harold Landry, getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback consistently. Yeah, Wilson was able to move around and do whatever he wanted to last week. Your top free agent corner is getting burned by Corey Davis consistently last week. Your first-round draft pick can't get on the field. Your top free agent signing can't get on the field. And on top of it, you can't kick. So, I mean, I'm not here to sit there and say that the Titans are awful or that the Titans don't have a chance. I'm just telling you guys, like, this idea of, well, you know, the Titans will get it figured out. Maybe. But we have to also consider the other side, which is there's a lot of things right now that I think are very concerning as far as the Titans, when you look at the Titans.
Well, I think their method of fixing it is not going to be to fire a lot of people.
Right.
I think, though, the one thing that Vrabel and John Robinson, you know, to me, that they're big on continuity, and they are big on you know, not changing things dramatically. So I don't think you're going to see Jim Schwartz elevated to defensive coordinator. That's not what he went there for. I don't think you're going to see anything like that. And I think that, yeah, you know, I thought that the Bud Dupree interview this week was pretty revealing, or this past week. You know, when he talked about, you know, coming to Tennessee, and he wasn't supposed to play a lot on the front end, and he tried to, and it might have set him back a little bit. But they knew what they were getting when they signed him. I just think that in the next few weeks, I think you're going to see more of Caleb Farley, mm-hmm. hopefully. yeah, and I don't know about the rest. You know, not everything has worked out, you know, the way that they've wanted it to. You know, their highly drafted players have not been ready. And that's a source of frustration. But then again, that doesn't mean that their highly drafted players will never play. So, you know, I would rather see them out on the field quicker, but that's just not happening. And then, you know, why did they draft Molden? You know, a guy that doesn't have a lot of speed in a position that's gotten a lot more, you know, vertical. So there are a lot of questions that need to be asked. But again, I don't think they're going to press the panic button. And, you know, obviously, you know, it's your job to sort of press the panic button. But I don't necessarily
agree. I am a natural
agree.
Panic button pusher.
Gee, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, in all fairness, you got your first taste of Jared's panic button pushing at the draft show. And right now, no. I feel pretty good about having nailed that panic button.
The good news is I hope your relatives are on the Titanic. Because the first sign of water, they were off the damn boat.
You know what's funny is that I've always been a guy, like, when I'm watching games, even as a fan, like, when something bad happens, I'm always the kind of guy that's like, hey, we're okay.
No,
but
never.
Then, like, in real life, you know, when it comes to this stuff, the anxiety of not being good freaks me out. And that's kind of where we are now. We'll take a look at the big four stories. And, boy, there are some stories. I've never seen as many stories going into an October Titans-Jags game have this one. We'll do that coming up next. We're live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Once again, come on out as the Titans get set to take on the Jags today. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Titans and Jags today coming your way at noon from Jacksonville. We're live for the pregame show at the Corner Pub in Bellevue. And for a Titans-Jags game in October, there are a lot of storylines to get into. Big four stories today. We call it Moving the Chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with five-star service. And we'll move the chains starting with first down. The biggest story surrounding the Titans and the Jags, Urban Meyer, who used to coach, I believe, at
McNeese State.
The Ohio State University. Urban Meyer, who has a history of, well, not telling the truth, spent a whole weekend of not telling the truth. Urban starts out by losing by 3 points to the Bengals on Thursday night, which we, by the way, should address at some point. Is did Jacksonville show us a little something in that game? They lose by 3 points to the Bengals on a Thursday night. Urban stays back in Jacksonville, or no, stays back in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Drives to Columbus, goes out to dinner, supposedly, reportedly, allegedly, goes out to dinner, ends up at a bar. There's pictures of him with a girl. He apologizes for it, says he got drug out on the dance floor. There's a new video that comes out with his, as Mark would say, giving the Charmin test to this mid-20s-something female. And then there's a lot of talk in Jacksonville about how bad it is, players that may not even really respect Urban Meyer anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a mess in Jacksonville on the Urban front. Chris Sanders, yeah. We start with you. What do you make of it?
I mean, it's just a team that's in disarray. I mean, before the stuff that happened with Urban Meyer, the team was playing terrible. And there was no continuity. But here's the deal. You got leaders on the team. You got Miles Jack. You got Josh Allen. You got Hamilton. Your leaders need to step up and say, you know what, even though the head coach is going through stuff and doing some bad things or whatever, we still have a game to play. We always talk about guys being professionals, guys doing the right thing. This is a perfect example to where you can be a professional. How do you be a professional? By going to practice on time. By doing your drill right. By doing everything right on the field. Even though off the field, it's absolutely a mess. So regardless of what the coach is doing, regardless of what the situation looks like, I have to be a professional and do my job. That's what the leader of these guys need to do.
Stupidity and arrogance, don't work well in that job. And you almost get the feeling that, and we always say this sometimes, that the difference between Saturday and Sunday is more than 24 hours when it comes to football. Mm-hmm. And some guys coming into the league, can't shed their Saturday persona. Like, to me, Vince Young, always wanted to be the Texas quarterback and never really the Titans quarterback. And some coaches are that way. Mm-hmm. First of all, that was Urban's bar. He owned that bar.
Right.
But aside from that, it was an incredible lapse of judgment and an incredible lack of accountability. Mm-hmm. And Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags, who's a very patient man, a very fair man, a guy who was willing to go out and pay top dollar to try to turn his franchise around, realizes now that he paid all this money for this mook, who none of the players respect. And now we'll see if Urban Meyer is going to, win back the respect of his players or just be one and done in Jacksonville. And that's the suspicion, that this guy is fish out of water. You look at the stupid decisions that he made. Signing Tim Tebow was idiotic. Bringing in a 33-year-old guy for fantasy camp was ridiculous. And now, it cracks me up that Tim Tebow has got to comment on it, before the story can actually run its full cycle. What's Tebow supposed to do? And Tebow's really giving Urban Meyer a pep talk. It takes Tim Tebow to tell Urban Meyer, probably not a good idea to be out there squeezing the butt of a woman who's not your wife. being at a place that you shouldn't have been in the first place. Your butt should have been in Jacksonville, where 99.9% of NFL coaches will be. And stop living your past glories. Nobody cares now about what you did in college. Let's see what you're doing in the NFL. And he can't seem to get past that, obviously. And it'll be interesting to see how it manifests itself beginning today.
I remember watching one of my favorite cartoons. It's not even a cartoon, it's a movie. It's Superman. And before Superman got his powers, his dad came to him and said this. He said, "With great power comes great responsibility." See, there's a thing that we're looking at now. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, ain't it?
But yeah.
See, the thing about – hold on.
The Kennedys were told that,
hold
too.
Hold on. But he has a responsibility to make it right. I know he's made a lot of mistakes. I know he's made a lot of wrong choices. But maybe this is an opportunity for him to get it right, to win his teammates back, to do the right thing. So sometimes you got to go through a mess so you can have a message to tell somebody, hey, listen, I blew it. I made a mistake. But this may be a turning point in his life. I'm looking at the positive. This is
you and Tebow.
Listen, absolutely, because here's the thing. I made a lot of wrong choices. I made a lot of stupid
Chris
things.
Sanders,
hold on. I made a lot of stupid choices. So even though he made a lot of bad choices, maybe this is can help him get on the right track. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be Mr. Nice Guy, but here's the deal. This man needs help. He needs help. If he's out there, just like what you said, Mark, he's trying to live out his glory days. He's trying to relive something that he's trying to recap. There's something that's going on with this man.
I mean, what guy on that roster? Because, you know, you're talking about a roster comprised of guys who are all really good college players. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What guy? I used to talk to Rocky Kalmus about this, former Titan, about, you know, how when he's in Nashville, yeah, you know, he plays for the Titans. Mm-hmm. How when he's in Norman, Oklahoma, he's Rocky Kalmus. You know, and right, Chris, and right. Chris, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If you go to Columbus, you know, during your career, your pro career, if you went to Columbus on a Saturday, people, you know, you don't buy a meal. People are happy to see you. People are loving on you. If Urban Meyer really needs that, then he shouldn't be coaching in the NFL.
Well, here's my thing, too, on top of this, is just what I know of the NFL and the coaches and, you know, like Floyd's family told me, Floyd's daughter-in-law told me that if they had lost, if he was GM and they had lost a game like they lost to the Jets on Sunday, they wouldn't have talked to him until Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they wouldn't have seen him, talked to him. Right, he'd have been in the office. You know. Urban's sitting there saying, yeah, you know, I needed a couple days off to get out. This is the NFL. Mm-hmm. This is not college. This is, you, like, you lose, you get your butt into the office and you turn that tape on.
What's the first thing every coach in 2021 tells his players in terms of being where you're not supposed to be? There are cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. So if you're where you're not supposed to be, somebody's going to find you. And he gets tripped up on that. That is pretty sad.
That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Another week. No Julio Jones for the Tennessee Titans. A hamstring injury will keep Julio out of today's game. The Titans acquired Julio Jones with a second-round pick and are paying him $15 million to play. And so far, Julio has had one good game against Seattle and one good half maybe against the Colts, and he's hurt. And that was a big concern when they acquired him, Chris Sanders.
Yeah.
Was whether or not Julio Jones was going to be available. And so far through 5 weeks, he will be missing his second game.
Yeah, we talked about this at the beginning of the season. And, you know, everybody was excited about signing Julio Jones. Even I was excited about signing him. But the one thing that we were concerned about is, can this guy be available on the field? And he's not available. And even though he's a spectacular player, even though he makes big plays, even though he's physical, you can't make touchdowns. You can't make plays if you're not actually on the field. So I think at the end of the season, and I'm being respectful to the other coaches, they need to sit down and evaluate, can this guy help us this year? Can this guy help us next year? Because if he can't, you're going to have to cut ties and find somebody that's available to go out there and make plays. And the thing about it is, I understand you can't control injuries. But the thing about it is, you knew this coming in when he was with the Tennessee Titans, that they wanted to sign him. We knew that this was a thing in the knack that he had in Atlanta. So if you knew that he was consistently getting hurt, you knew that he was consistently not on the field, and you sign him, then that's a problem on the Tennessee Titans as opposed to Julio Jones.
I've seen this movie before, the Yancey Thigpen story starring Julio Jones. And that is, the hamstring problems will be persistent. It'll keep him off the field. It'll keep him off the practice field. And in about 4 or 5 weeks, we're all going to be sitting around looking at each other, wondering why in the world John Robinson made this deal if he couldn't anticipate that this was at least a decent possibility. And, you know, I defer to JR on a lot of stuff. And, you know, to me, physicals, you know, you sort of get what you want there. Mm-hmm. You can pass a guy, you can flunk a guy. But, you know, to me, I think right now this deal looks like such a dog for the Titans. You know, it got big media hype because the media, like fans, have a tendency to live in the past. And, you know, I just think in the NFL, good teams don't make deals like this because they always seem to end up backfiring.
You know, me and TD, we went back and we watched Julio Jones doing the four corner drills. And as me and TD was looking at it, that's the Ron Davenport with 102.5, and we were looking at the drills that he were running, and we were talking like, man, something's not right with his lower body. And as he's doing the drill, you're supposed to, you know, make it tight to the cone. It wasn't tight. He was more like rounding it. I know that's a lot of football talk. But I think he was actually hurt coming into camp. So if you know that he was hurt coming into camp, why would you sign a guy like that if he can't really help you on the field?
Well, and I'll say this, and I'm a little uncomfortable in saying it because at the time that they made this trade, Floyd was still alive, and people, you know, would tweet me or things like that, and they would say, you know, I wonder what the GM thinks of this move, or I think, you know, whatever. And Floyd, I never talked about the Julio trade or anything like it or whatever. And so I feel kind of weird, like, putting words in his mouth for something that he didn't say, which was, you know, very much a pet peeve of his with me. He would have never made that trade. Everything that he hates about acquiring players, he hates injured players. He's always trying to not pay a guy. You know, he's always, you know, okay, I'll do it if it's on my terms, I'll do it, but not on your terms. And the Titans took the full Monty on this. They took the money. They gave the pick. They got an old injured player. And this has been, honestly, the addition of Julio Jones outside of the Seattle game. And this is of no fault of Julio's. It's the Titans' fault for buying into it. But it's been a massive distraction from training camp on. You know, is Vrabel taking a shot at him? Is Vrabel and just they're not getting anything out of it.
I think the Titans made this deal thinking, you know what, you won't practice every day, you know, and that's okay because he's a gamer. You know, he's a guy that will play hard for you, you know, especially if he's invested. And I think that's what they were thinking. I mean, you look at, you know, look at Bruce Matthews, look at a lot of guys at the end of their careers, you know, didn't practice every day, but they got a lot of production from. I mean, good grief, Steve McNair.
Yeah.
Like almost never practiced because he was hurt.
Yeah.
But I think that it's starting to dawn on the Titans that they're not going to have Julio, you know, for a protracted period. But again, their attitude is, let's keep him out a little bit longer, because if he comes back and he's as close to 100% as he can possibly be, we can get something out of this deal.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Titans defense was looking okay, 15th in the league going into the game against the Jets last Sunday. And then Corey Davis, of all people, absolutely lit them up. Busted coverage city, guys out of position, not a lot of pressure on the quarterback. By the way, that Jets team right now trailing 20-3 at the half, which is also embarrassing in and of itself. What do we make of the regression, Mark Howard, of the defense from 1 week to the next?
Well, again, injuries, you know, especially at the linebacker position, has really compromised this team. They had to move Harold Landry around, and they did, you know, get a little bit of pressure on Wilson, but, you know, that's going to happen today. I mean, one of the things that they're going to have to try to do is confuse Trevor Lawrence. What they're going to have to try to do is take advantage of Jacksonville's injured interior line and you know, put some pressure on up the middle, which for rookie quarterbacks, you know, is about the worst thing. So, yeah, you know, the defense, you know, you're right. I did not expect the Jets to score 27 points on the Titans last week. I'll be honest with you. And that's disturbing.
Yeah, I think the bright spot of the defense has been Landry. Landry had one sack and three tackles for loss. He's been all over the place. I mean, he's a guy that last year we were talking about maybe he shouldn't even be here this year. But, man, just watching him being all over the field, he's flying over the field, he's creating pressure, and he's making plays. But the one thing that I'm kind of disappointed in the defense is the secondary. The secondary is just giving up explosive plays after explosive plays. When you have Corey Davis that has four catches for 111 yards, and then you have Keelan Cole, 3 for 92. I mean,
well, you have Dane Cruikshank out there. Dane Cruikshank is a nice special teams player.
He's not a DB.
But I think we realize, in the words of College Football Hall of Fame coach Boots Donnelly, Dane Cruikshank can't play dead in a Western.
Well, we can talk about that. But yeah, at the same time, like, Kevin Byard supposedly
an all-pro. That's what I'm saying,
and then Jackrabbit Jenkins is a corner. I mean, like, the guys that are getting beat, it ain't just Cruikshank getting beat out there.
Absolutely.
I mean, the whole secondary's a mess right now.
Yeah, but then the thing about it is, I just don't think we have a guy that has a top-end speed. I mean, the only guy that can probably go stay with the top wide receivers is maybe Fulton. Fulton maybe runs a 4.4. Jackrabbit Jenkins maybe 4.5, 4.6. He can't run like he used to. So when you have a speedy receiver, a guy that can get you off the spot, when I say get off the spot, that means beating the DB at the line of scrimmage.
But like Corey Davis wasn't the fastest receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't. Yeah, he can run that fast. Not even that fast. No, but Corey Davis got decent speed, but what he does, he may not be a 40 guy, But if he has to go get the ball, he gets faster and faster. And if you look at when he caught that touchdown against the Jets, there was two people on him. Somebody's got to make a play. They're in position sometimes, but somebody like Byard or Jackrabbit Jenkins or Fulton, somebody's got to come up with that play to keep the deep ball from getting made.
By the way, Corey Davis so far in the game in London where the Jets trail
zero catches
by the score of 20-3 against the Falcons, 2-for-17. That takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Randy Bullock missed a 49-yarder that would have tied the game against the Jets. I actually think Randy Bullock's doing an okay job.
He is.
I know he's missed a couple of kicks. But he's not a distance kicker. This is like Gary Anderson out there. Like, you got to get him 43, 44 and not take a delay of game penalty and have him kicking at 49. But I do think that Randy Bullock, when you're inside 45, is somewhat reliable.
I mean, I think he is. He's very reliable. I mean, what are you in, 3 out of 4 last week? But here's the difference. You can make a kick when there's no pressure, but when the pressure's on, can you make the kick? And that pressure was on, you know, to win the game. I mean, that
you
makes –
you just can't kick it from far away.
I understand. Yeah, I'm going to fight y'all, man. But
made the game winner against Seattle because it wasn't far away.
Yeah, but the thing about it is there's a difference between having pressure and no pressure. That was a pressure
the
situation.
The difference between having range and not range.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. There's some guys that can handle pressure, and there's some guys that can't handle pressure. At that moment,
we've been kicking in the league for a decade.
I understand, but that's a different kind of pressure when the game is on the line. How many? Okay, let's rewind this. How many kicks has he kicked where the games were on the line?
He beat Seattle.
That's one.
Overtime game winner right through the upright.
That was one. That wasn't too much pressure, though. This one was. I think this one was because they didn't want to get beat by the Jets. I'm telling you, I kind of look at the innuendos, and I'm not just trying to be funny or anything, just trying to make anything up. But when he was walking on the field, well, look at his body language. His body language was, man, I'm not sure. And when you have a kicker that's basically saying, I'm unsure because of the pressure situation, do you want that guy to kick? That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I think you get what you pay for. And true. Again, the Titans, you know, went bargain basement bin for their kicker. And so that's what you get. You get a guy with, you know, with middling range that doesn't kick long distances, and you're going to have to coach accordingly. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the Titans – you know, should have never been in that position anyway. And, you know, surprisingly, you know, Tannehill, who's been able to move that team. I think the most disturbing thing last week about that game was the protection breakdowns.
Yep.
That the Jets' defensive line, you know, suddenly looked like the steel curtain defense.
Yeah.
And that was disturbing to me, that the Titans couldn't protect Tannehill, who doesn't react well to those situations anyway. But, you know, that to me was the problem. And you can't – you're right, Jared. You can't put Randy Bullock in that situation.
Coming up on the other side, we'll take a look at the Titans' offense. We'll go inside the playbook. That's next. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What are the keys to victory on the offensive side of the ball for the two-tone blue? Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Mark Howard go inside the playbook. Brought to you by E2 Roofing. This is the NFL pregame on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Inside the playbook brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Offensively, Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Not pretty last week against the Jets, right. Jets. Julio Jones out. A.J. Brown looks to make his return today. But how worried are you about the offense protection issues,
yes,
dropping the football issues, getting open at receiver issues, quarterback decision-making issues? What do you make about the offense?
I mean,
today?
You said it all, but it all starts with the offensive line. And just looking at them overall, I just think they're having some communication issues. But you look at when they went against the Jets, guys were coming scot-free and making plays. So I just think they correct that. And Tannehill plays consistent football. And when I say consistent football, is not giving up interceptions, not giving up fumbles, and throwing the ball to where the receiver can make the catch. And then on the flip side, the receivers have got to get open. I mean, they have to get open. I know I think A.J. Brown's playing today. Julio Jones is not. But Batson and that supporting cast, they have to create separation. Because if you look at last week when they were going against the New York Jets, there was no separation in getting away from the bump and run coverage. The only time the receivers caught the ball was when it was in zone coverage. And you can't do that against the Jacksonville Jaguars because they're going to go cover zero. When I say cover zero, cover one, that's one safety high. So they're going to come out and have to protect Tannehill. Guys have to make plays, and guys have to get open. I think they can be successful doing that.
When you don't get the sufficient protection, it's hard for your receivers to separate. It just is. And sometimes it's a matter of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things about having a good offensive line is you give your receivers that extra second or two, and that in the NFL, that makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. What made last week so odd was that they got 155-something yards from Derrick Henry, and they still lost the game, you know, which was absolutely crazy. Henry traditionally tears up Jacksonville. You know, Henry traditionally puts up big numbers against the Jags, and I think the Titans feel like they can control the game from that aspect. They've got to worry about Josh Allen, a very talented young pass rusher for the Jaguars. And their defensive tackles, Jacksonville, they're decent. But, you know, again, you know, the Titans' offensive line has struggled against everybody.
Right.
So who knows if they can block them today. But they've got to keep Josh Allen off of Tannehill. Otherwise, he's going to have, you know, a Chandler Jones-esque, you know, kind of day. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because I did stick up for him last week. But it's like an every week thing now. The tail of the wand is down on the ground, injured,
yeah.
And that's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
And you do wonder now if this is the beginning of the end of Luan. I think that Robinson felt like he had Luan for a few more years, but you wonder now if he looks out there and starts to second guess that and sort of feel like his shelf life has expired. So, you know, there are a lot of questions right now about the Titan offensive line, and that is definitely an area where they need continuity.
You know, and just looking at last year, when the Tennessee Titans were playing different teams in the league last year, the identity of this team was smash mouth and physical, and we're going to run through your lips. If you look at this year, you really haven't seen it. I know Derrick Henry has made some explosive runs and ran through people's face, but I want to see the offensive line dominate somebody. And I think that this is a perfect game that the Tennessee Titans can come out and just dominate and impose the will. Because if you look at last year and some of the games that the Tennessee Titans played, some of those defensive line guys were like, man, I don't want no more parts of it because they're physically getting beat. We need to actually see that from the Tennessee Titans this year. Say, you know what? You know what we're running. We're running a zone read. We're running stuff that's going to run through your face, but we can't stop you. And I think the Tennessee Titans need to create that identity back.
I worry right now about the Titans. A lot of people are discussing how much they miss Arthur Smith, and a lot of people are unhappy with Todd Downing. I don't think anybody did their job well enough on Sunday, and that includes Downing. But, Mark, I'm not as down on Downing as everybody else is, which I find to be incredibly odd. And yet there are a lot of people that think that Todd Downing is just not very good.
Yeah, that's fine. Downing might not be as good as Arthur Smith, but I don't think he's the reason why this offense has struggled. And, again, they got to get their act together in the red zone. You know, this was an offense the last 2 years that was very efficient in that area.
They also had a tight end. They don't have a starting tight end right now.
And that to me is on the GM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another part of it that has bothered me from the, you know, from the start of camp, that they didn't go out and address that issue. But this is a team that has struggled in the red zone, that are getting threes instead of sevens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the NFL, that is bad math. That's math that can't work. Yeah, you know, that has definitely become a big problem for them.
You know, just like what you're talking about, the offensive coordinators, you got Down and you got Arthur Smith. You pointed it out, Jared, is they didn't have a tight end. Look at who Arthur Smith had. He had Walker, Delanie Walker, and he had Jonnu Smith. Down he has Ferkser and Pruitt. I mean, those are totally different guys and totally things you could do. So I think that the offense doesn't have the same spice that Arthur has is because he doesn't have the personnel, and that's kind of like what you guys are talking about.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, like, they don't have a right tackle. I mean, like, they don't have a tight end, and they don't have a right tackle. And so it's great that you got Julio Jones, but if you don't have a right tackle, you can't block.
Work.
And if you don't have a tight end who caught 8 touchdowns in the red zone last year, all of a sudden everybody's like, wow, why is it so tough in the red? They don't have a tight end. They don't have a tight end. This week against Jacksonville, though, can they literally just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry and win the game that way?
I mean, they're going to have to, and it's all going to depend on what personnel they're in. Are they going to go one back, 2 tight ends? If they go 2 tight ends.
I wouldn't, because then they're putting Swaim on the field, and he stinks.
Yeah, but the thing about it is you have more protection for Tannehill and also more, you know, more protection for Tannehill. So I just think that if you go a 12 personnel, it eliminates guys from getting hits on Tannehill and also hitting Derrick Henry in the backfield.
Listen, this game – they don't have to do everything perfectly to win today. They could conceivably walk away from this game, and next week we'll be saying, well, they won the game, but they really didn't look that good. And that should have been the case last week, and it wasn't.
What if they lose this game?
Well, losing this game.
How would you feel about the Titans if they lost this game?
Well, I'm done with the team this year. Like, I think that any shot of all the preseason talk about being a contender – totally out the window if they lose tonight.
Losing to the Jets and Jags back-to-back, I would admit, would definitely leave you with a sour taste. Mm-hmm. No question. Because when you looked at the schedule, first of all, you didn't expect a loss, a win at Seattle.
True.
And you surely, you know, didn't expect losses against the Jets and Jags. This is where the Titans were supposed to start 5-1, and that's not going to happen. But, you know, again, they win today. You know, a lot of ills, you know, may be cured. So the Titans have a way of sort of ping-ponging back from a bad performance, and we'll see if they're able to do that today against the Jags.
Let's flip it to the other side, defense, because defense was a mess last week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get our thoughts on that coming up next. We're live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Touchdown. Will Derrick Henry and the Titans bounce back against the Jags?
If you see the play, go make it.
Or will they fall to another rookie quarterback on the road? Tune in all day Monday for full reaction to Titans-Jags.
You get in the red zone, you got to put that ball in the end zone.
We are Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron. BetOnline.net is your number one spot for all the pro and college football odds and news this season. Get all the updated info on players, teams, and odds to help you with your new football contests, leagues, and new survivor pools. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports, pro sports, MMA, championship boxing, golf, horse racing, they have it all. Bring the game home with BetOnline.net, where the game starts.
Hey, this is DJ Super Save with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code FULL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code FULL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FULL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code FULL.
Ever shop for a diamond only to have the jeweler tell you he doesn't have what you're looking for in stock? But he can get one brought in for you in a few days.
They hear it again and again. Oh, I don't have it. I can get it for you. Give me a few days, see what I have for you. Let me call my dealer.
That's Genesis Diamonds owner Boaz Ramon, who says when you hear that, you're in the wrong place.
When you go to other places and they don't have it in stock, that means this is not their specialty. Why do you want to go to a restaurant and wait for them to order the food from somebody else?
But at Genesis, they do specialize in diamonds, and they have them, thousands, all shapes, all sizes, all in stock, every day.
We're ready for you. You want to come and get a 3-carat, 4-carat, 1-carat? We have them in stock because we sell them.
Genesis Diamonds.
We have one of the largest selection in the country.
Where diamonds are not a side business, it is their business.
That's what we think, breathe, and sleep.
Green Hills and Cool Springs.
I'm Boaz Ramon, and my accent is always on value.
This afternoon,
Herbert, end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown.
It's our NFL Game of the Week, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Justin Herbert and the Chargers host Baker Mayfield and the Browns.
Mayfield pulls it down now.
Coverage begins at 3
on ESPN
102.5 The Game. What are the keys to victory on the defensive side of the ball for the two-tone blue? Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Mark Howard go inside the playbook. Brought to you by E2 Roofing. This is the NFL Pregame on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Inside the Defensive Playbook, brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. Mark Howard, Titans defense through 3 weeks looked much improved from the 2020 group. Then Zach Wilson and Corey Davis went off last week, and there's a lot of discussions about the Titans defense. Trevor Lawrence this week had a good game against the Bengals on Thursday Night Football. A couple extra days to prepare. What do we make of the Titans defense today against Jacksonville?
Well, who's rushing the quarterback?
Harold Landry.
John Simon's back.
Let's go.
I mean, John Simon, who was the most puzzling cut of the preseason, Ohio State guy, was one of my favorite players when he was at Ohio State. You know, undersized, sort of pass rushing specialist. The Sharif Finch reunion didn't last long. You know, he was signed, put on the field, and then cut.
Dang.
But... yeah, they're not going to have Jayon Brown, you know, and all of a sudden David Long has become really important in this defense. But, yeah, I mean, who's going to get to the quarterback? I mean, that is the biggest question. And Harold Landry, who I think has actually had a good year.
I agree.
If Harold Landry finally gets, you know, the Bud Dupree that they expected to sign, then this could be kind of an interesting defense. And I think that's the way the Titans are looking at it. They're just hoping to tread water until Dupree gets back. So I don't think anybody's losing their jobs. You know, I don't think there's been any, you know, real malpractice here, except that you have to, you know, play Dane Cruikshank at safety. I mean, I'm shocked that they're not better at that position. But with all that aside, yeah, you know, Jack Rabbit Jenkins was supposed to be a stopgap. And Kayla, you know,
been an allow gap because he's allowing him to run down the field.
Listen, I know. I mean, it's he's, you know, his name and his production have become oxymoronic. You know, it's like a fat guy being called slim. It's I mean, it is. You know, he's not what you think he is. But they're waiting again. They're treading water. Mm-hmm. Until Caleb Farley is ready, and then they'll put him in there. But, you know, who knows when that's going to happen. But, you know, all that aside, you know, I think, you know, injuries, like a lot of teams, have compromised them. And they're just going to have to – Shane Bowen's going to have to figure it out.
You know, I just think this is just my opinion. I think we need a dog in the secondary. And one of the guys that I think that the Tennessee Titans are sorely missing is a guy like Butler. I know everybody was expecting Jack Rabbit Jenkins to come in there and be like a Butler. But in just my opinion, I don't think he has the dog in him like Butler did. Butler would fight and do everything he did to try to get an interception. And then on another thing, we got to make sure that we contain Lawrence. Lawrence is a guy who's competing 55% of his passes, 873 yards, here's the key, and 7 interceptions. That's exactly what Zach Williams had, and he had a big game against us. So we got to definitely put pressure on Lawrence, don't let him get loosened, and make sure he doesn't get outside the pocket and have those big runs.
Well, I also think, too, that this is one of those schematic days.
Yeah.
Where Bone is going to try to confuse Lawrence a little bit and show him a lot of window dressing and then do something else. You know, this is a day.
Shane Bowen good enough to do that?
Yes. You act like Shane Bowen can't walk and chew gum.
I have yet to see Shane Bowen walk and chew gum at the NFL level as a coordinator.
I think that
I mean, I know you guys think I'm crazy. I'd fire Shane Bowen if they lose today.
Yeah,
if they lose and the defense is a mess.
Who's going to be defense coordinator then?
Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, but the scheme of the defense is going to stay exactly the same. You ain't going to change too much.
Well, but different coaches. Yeah. Coaches can coach more than one scheme. Right.
And I know the Titans won't do it. And I know Vrabel won't do it. I'm just saying I would do it if they lose today.
I don't think Schwartz would do it, but that's a whole other thing. That's not what he signed up for. But beyond that, this is a day where you try to outwit the rookie quarterback, and we'll see if they're able to do it. Lawrence, I think, is going to be a really good quarterback in this league. I just think he's going through his struggles now, and he's very resilient and very optimistic. And you see him with the media. He's upbeat and he's willing to learn from his mistakes. And we'll see what happens. But, this is going to be a day where the Titans, I think, are going to move Harold Landry around. It's going to be kind of a Where's Waldo when it comes to Harold Landry. And the Titans are going to show Lawrence a lot of different looks and try to goad him into a mistake.
Yeah, the only thing I'm concerned about is when they start showing him looks and start blitzing a whole bunch of safeties. Then that leaves you one-on-one with Marvin Jones and Chenault Jr. And that's the scary part, because if you looking on the outside and the perimeter, we can't really cover anybody. I mean, we don't have the top end speed, and we're trying to quick jam guys at line of scrimmage, and guys are running wide open. So even if we do confuse them and we do, blitz safeties and go man-to-man on outside, what if they just throw a fade and have a jump ball? That's the only thing I'm concerned about.
It's a risk you're going to have
Absolutely.
To take. But Laviska Shenault is not exactly
– He can run now.
Yeah, but he's not a speed guy. I mean, he's an excellent receiver, was a terrific player at Colorado, and he's going to have Christian Fulton on him, and it's going to be a big day for Christian Fulton, believe you me. But, we'll see where that ends up.
Caleb Farley should be active and ready to go today. I don't know how much he will play. Would you put Caleb Farley out there, Chris Sanders? They had an injury last week to Chris Jackson, which forced the move of Fulton inside as opposed to putting Molden on the field. They brought Breon Borders in the game. Do you think the Titans can put Caleb Farley on the field?
I mean, he needs to be on the field. I mean, he's your number one draft pick, and he needs to come in here and play and impact the game. Everybody keeps talking about that he's a shutdown corner. He's a guy that understands the game. He understands what to do. He's physical at the line of scrimmage. That's exactly what we need for the Tennessee Titans, because we're not getting with Jack Rabbit Jenkins. We're getting with Fulton. But we need a guy that's going to step in there and be a dog and come up with some turnovers. Because if you look at the Tennessee Titans on defense, how many turnovers do the Tennessee Titans have? Last week they had an interception, with Fulton. But any other guy that's stepping up making interceptions? Yes, Byard had one, a couple of weeks ago. But there's nobody stepping up making those key turnovers.
Well, the other guy that I'm worried about from the Jacksonville perspective is Dan Arnold, a guy that I really wished the Titans had gone after in the offseason, but that's neither here nor there. Dan Arnold's a dangerous guy. He's a good receiver, and I think he's a guy, a safety valve that Lawrence is going to use, and I think he's got a chance to put up some big numbers today against the Titans.
I just think if the Titans let the Jags move the football all over them, then they got some serious problems. I mean, I was encouraged the first 3 weeks of the defense. Then I saw last week, not as encouraged. And I just kind of feel like this Jacksonville team, the Titans should be able to get pressure on Lawrence. They should turn Lawrence over. They should – and yet there's a part of me that says, well, we felt that way last year, and they didn't do that against anybody. And it has me concerned about today.
Yeah, but also, too, we can't forget about, you know, James Robinson, too. He's not a bad running back.
No, 1,000-yard back.
He's not. I mean, he's got 49 carries for 238. So, you know, even though the numbers are not jumping out at you, he's still a guy that can take they can take the ball and hit a home run. So we got to be careful on that end, too.
Coming up on the other side, we'll take a look at who's in, who's out for the Titans. Some big names we already know will be out this upcoming week. Who's in, who's out for Jacksonville, and we'll get Mike Vrabel's key to the game as the Titans get set to take on the Jacksonville Jags. We are live here on the pregame show from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's Jared, Chris, and Mark Howard. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The voice of reason.
I just want to go on, get it out there, and we'll move on. This may have been the worst football weekend I've ever experienced in my life.
The voice of the fan.
Taylor and Bud Dupree. I just think both guys have not gotten over the mental part with the knee yet.
The voice of Nashville sports is your home of Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Hey Nashville, it's Jared, and there's a new go-to for home furnishing. Social Furniture on the West Side is independently home-owned furniture store in Nashville. Forget the big box store. Shop local, shop social.
It's football season, and Social Furniture has the best lifetime guarantee motion furniture on sale now. Their sofas with recliners are push-button electric and wall-away with all colors to choose from for your comfort. Sectionals from $9.99, recliners from $3.99. Sectionals with chaise lounge and all-electric recliners from $19.99. Social Furniture will have you football ready with all furniture that are plus leather, microfiber, and
there's no waiting, and take home your new motion furniture today or with their same day fine furniture delivery. Social Furniture has no down payments and no interest. You don't want to miss out on their best lifetime guarantee motion furniture sale going on now.
Shop local, shop social, 5412 Charlotte Avenue near White Bridge Road, and tell them Jared Stillman sent you. Hey, it's Jared Stillman. Guys, are you tired of feeling old? You know that feeling. You don't have any energy. You're gaining pounds. Well, guess what? My friends at Invigorate Health are the ones to help you. They don't just focus on one area of the aging body. They take care of all of it with so many different therapies that can restore your vitality and are designed with you specifically in mind. So give them a try. Invigorate Health, if you want to feel young again, out in Mount Juliet at 615-288-4777 or invigoratehealthtn.com.
Hey everybody, Robbie Stanley here, and the NFL Week 5 is here, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week, and all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Titans and the Jags back in action this weekend. Give me over on Derrick Henry's rushing yards, over on Tannehill's passing yards as well. I expect a big response from the Titans, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can also claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win in the Monday night game between Indianapolis and Baltimore. Just sign up with promo code ROB, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as novel trouble site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
NFL pregame is on.
Time now to take a look at who's in, who's out here on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, Chris Sanders. Time to take a look at our inactives and our keys to the game presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. We start with the inactives for the Jacksonville Jags. Out today, kicker Josh Lambeau is inactive. They have added, I believe, Mason Wright is his name from the practice squad. Some kicker. So, you know, we've seen the Titans run some kicker out there for the last 2 years, and we know that's not a good sign. Josh Lambeau is out today. Corner Tyson Campbell is inactive. Laurenti McCray is out today. Jordan Smith and Roy Robertson Harris out today for the Jags. So, not a lot of big names there. For the Titans today, inactive. Wide receiver Julio Jones, inactive. Punter Brett Kern is inactive. Outside linebacker Bud Dupree is inactive. Wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Akina is inactive today. Mekhi Sargent, the running back, is inactive. Defensive lineman Woodrow Hamilton is inactive. And offensive lineman Ty Sambrylo is out for the Titans as well. Why the chuckle for Mekhi Sargent?
Because that's Rex Rhodes' guy.
No, Westbrook Akeem is Rex Rhodes' guy.
He also likes Sargent.
I just, when I saw Sargent running during the preseason, I had memories of DeJuan Hicks and
Skip Hicks had one great game
against the Packers.
Chris Henry.
Those guys made the team because they were good in the preseason, and then you never heard from them again. And Sargent, I think, is probably in the same boat. But
Packers were in nickel the whole game. Skip Hicks ran for like 150 yards.
What do we make of Nick Westbrook, Akina out, Josh Reynolds in? That means your wide receiver position today will look like this. A.J. Brown will start at one spot. Josh Reynolds will start at another
spot.
Do you like
Josh Reynolds?
I do not. Chester Rogers in the slot. And then Marcus Johnson, who has been added to the active roster, will make his debut today as well.
I mean, it ain't really make a difference. Westbrook made a couple of plays. I know a couple of weeks he caught a touchdown. But other than that, he really
fumbled
has
the football. Fumbled the football. Line.
Absolutely. But he just hasn't been a spark, for this Tennessee Titans offense. I know we get A.J. Brown back today, which is going to be huge, but I want to watch and see how, he's going to be the first and second quarter, because that's going to be the telltale of what he's going to do the rest of the game, because I was watching some drills, earlier this season, what he was doing in camp. Everything was short. So I want to see if he has to run a corner or a post to see how that hamstring is going to handle up. So I think they're going to be okay, because this Tennessee Jaguars secondary is okay, but I just want to see how A.J. Brown's going to do.
I don't think Marcus Johnson's going to see the field today. It's kind of odd, because after today, Marcus Johnson goes on the practice squad, which lets you know what they think of him.
Is that true?
Yeah. That's his designation, yeah.
I thought he was just added to the regular active roster.
Well, today he is.
But you're saying they're just going to cut him tomorrow, waive him tomorrow, and then let him go through waivers, and then add him to the practice squad. Yeah.
I would let Reynolds go, man.
You hate Reynolds.
No, I don't. I don't hate him. I mean, I watch. He's just not a number one wide receiver. That's just my opinion. I'm saying that very respectfully. But
neither is anybody else on the team not named AJ or Julio.
I know, but what I'm saying,
Chester Rogers is not a number one wide receiver, but he does serve a purpose.
But he has a little bit of explosiveness. Reynolds doesn't have the explosives that I want to see a guy that's on the perimeter. I know they put him in slot when he was with the L.A. Rams, but I want to see some explosive plays. I want to see him, take the top off the defense. We look at last week, when he's supposed to catch that pass and he dropped it. I mean, we need a guy that's going to make a play like that.
I think Chester Rogers has a chance to have a big game today. I think that's a guy who, week in and week out, is able to give them some production. But, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, just what Jacksonville does with A.J. Brown, and if he can hang on to the dang ball. That's another problem with A.J. Brown. Good receiver, but skill at hands occasionally.
Why have the Titans been dropping the football so much?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's lack of concentration, because you watch them in practice, they're always catching the jugs. I just think that
I'm not saying it's lack of concentration. It sure is.
It's just.
I mean, whenever you drop the football, was it ever not because of a lack of concentration?
It wasn't just concentration. You got so many things that you're thinking. You're looking at the blitz. You got to know, I got to get the right depth. You got to know, if the quarterback's in trouble. So there's so many variables that are going through. So I'm not making that an excuse for A.J. Brown, because some of those passes that were thrown to him, he should have made him. But you just don't know what's going through a receiver's mind. With me, if I drop a pass, I know that I'm thinking about something, or I just flat out dropped it. I don't drop too many, but,
Well, they've dropped enough this year for your entire career times 10, it feels like, as far as the Titans are concerned. John Simon makes his debut on the defensive side of the ball. Really odd cut from the standpoint that they cut him right at the end of training camp. Vrabel then, in a press conference, talks about how much he wants to bring him back. And then it took until October for them to bring him back. He was signed to the practice squad and has already been added to the roster. So he is not an elevation. He is a 53-man roster guy. Their two elevations are Caron Reed, a defensive lineman who's active, and Jamal Carter, defensive back who's active. I think Simon's going to play some snaps today.
Well, I think Vrabel trusts him. I believe Vrabel coached him at Ohio State.
And Houston.
Yeah. Mm. And I love John Simon. You know, he was one of my favorite college players, and was really excited when the Titans got him and totally puzzled. And again, I don't think it was John Simon. I just think it was a numbers crunch, you know, that forced Vrabel and John Robinson to cut him. But
was it a numbers crunch? I mean, I feel like they were running out of – they had too many roster spots and not enough guys to fill the roster spots at the end of training camp.
Well, I think they felt like an outside linebacker. There were other guys they wanted to keep.
Do you think this might be a spark for the defense? You know what
John
I'm saying?
Simon?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that may be a spark that they need to get this defense going.
If John Simon has to be the spark,
I'm just
the
saying.
Titans are in big trouble.
Well, the Titans are in big trouble if they lose this
game. If a guy you pull off the street, yeah, and insert in the lineup has to be your spark, then you got some problems.
You remember Rod Hood?
Yeah.
So the Titans, 2008, one of the best defenses in the league. Haynesworth leaves. Vandenbosch gets hurt. 2009, DBs are awful. And they get hurt. So I think Finnegan got hurt. And so they're out there with Ryan Mouton and some other guy who stunk.
I can't remember the
other guy's name. They were terrible out there. I think it was McCourty.
Marcus Robertson loved Ryan Mouton.
I personally
scouted him. I took him through his workout. He can play. No, he could not play.
I think it was Ryan Mouton and Jason McCourty, I think, were the two corners McCourty's, that were out there.
Wow.
And it was awful.
Wow.
And they signed Rod Hood during the bye
week.
And Rod Hood was the best defensive back on the Titans that year. And I said to people, I go, this tells me that there are guys on the street who don't have jobs that are better than the guys you have in the secondary right now. And I would say that I don't think Simon's going to come in here and be better than Landry. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to be better than Ola Adeniyi has been, although where did Ola Adeniyi go last week? Because I didn't see him out on the field.
But he's been most consistent, though.
He didn't do anything last week.
That's just one week, though. I mean, if you look at the Tennessee Titans defense, we're consistently saying his name and Landry's name. So, you know, those guys have been playing top-notch football.
I'm going to take it one further. Jeffrey Simmons. You know, and TD will be on in a little bit, but TD always talks about how Simmons gets double-teamed and the things Simmons does that you don't see, and I was listening to an old Jerry the GM podcast, and Floyd was talking about Simmons. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, if you're a good DT, then you can do the things that people don't notice.
You don't, yeah.
If you're going to be a great DT, you got to do the things people notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I am starting to kind of get that way with Simmons, that we were told game wrecker, solid player and game wrecker, Albert Haynesworth, are two totally
Ooh.
Different things.
Ooh.
And I'm kind of calling on Simmons to show me a little bit of that.
I think that's a fair assessment. I expected, you know, he had a couple of good games, had a great game against Seattle, and because I think Autry has been JR's best offseason mm-hmm. signing.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
By a mile. But I thought that he would, you know, help make Simmons a better player, and that hasn't always been the case. And this is another instance today of where Jeffrey Simmons – and Autry should have a big game. A.J. Cann, the starting right guard for Seattle, is out injured. They've got Ben Barch in there. I mean, they've got a banged-up interior offensive line, and this is where the Titans should take advantage and blow things up and really make life miserable for Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
TD is going to join us next. So he is in Jacksonville on the field. He avoided the sick out today that apparently they're having at the Jacksonville airport.
They're having a what?
So Paul Kaharsky could not fly into Jacksonville because a bunch of Southwest employees at the Jacksonville airport have called out sick today as like they're protesting of the vaccine. So people literally cannot fly into Jacksonville right now.
Wow.
I bet it wouldn't shock me if those guys get stuck there. The TDs of the world. We'll talk to TD next. He is in Jacksonville. We're at the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we are about an hour and 15 or so away from kickoff in Jacksonville. It is time to go to Jacksonville and connect with TD. Teron Davenport, ESPN.com, is presented by the Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD, the Titans are going to have all kinds of injuries that are out for today's game, but A.J. Brown is in. How has he looked so far on the field today?
I think A.J. Brown has looked fine. I came down specifically to watch that, saw him run around a little bit, a little like soft toss. And one of the balls went a little bit further than he thought it would, and he was able to accelerate and go get it. And I think that was really a good indicator. So looks like the hamstring is fine. He took extra time loosening it up and everything. And, hey, man, this offense, as you guys know, really, really missed him last week, and it's a good return for them.
TD, what have you seen? I know that it's only a warm-up, but the offensive line, do they look like they're warming up any differently or anything after what happened last week against the Jets?
No, they're not warming up any differently or anything like that. They came out, Taylor Lewan did his thing, got down in the stance and fired out. Rodden Sappel came out and stretched. I mean, they didn't do anything different. Ben Jones did his same walking around the field barefooted, and that's what they do.
We're speaking to Teron Davenport, of course, the Titans beat writer from ESPN.com. And, TD, the interior line of Jacksonville is banged up a little bit. A.J. Can is out. I would imagine if you're Shane Bowen, that's got to be an area where you feel like you can attack with Autry and Simmons and the rest of their interior D-line.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're gonna have, man. And I apologize. Josh Allen came over and told me, I'm looking clean, so I got to respond to that.
Like Gary Coleman.
Can you refire that question again for me? I'm sorry.
Well, that A.J. Can is out, the starting right guard for Jacksonville. The interior of their offensive line is a little bit banged up. Barch is going to be one of the replacements. But do you feel like that's an area where the Titans defense can really attack and give Lawrence that interior pressure?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something, with Jeffrey Simmons, and I don't know if you've heard some of the fans are chirping about Simmons and him not making the plays he needs to make, even though he's absorbing double teams and allowing everyone else to make plays and doing what he's supposed to do within the defense. That's a different story. But I think this is a good week where, he will be able to have some of those impact plays. But as the plays, when they come to you, you got to make them. But, like, with him, it's just a different thing as far as what he's asked to do. So that being said, I would imagine, with those guys not used to being out there, I would expect to see those interior gaps get spiked a little bit, and then you'd be able to see, guys like Rashawn Evans, like David Long, blitzing. And don't be surprised if they send some safety blitzes also, because you want to throw everything out of rookie. So I would imagine blitzing those interior gaps would be the way to go.
TD, what's going on, my man? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you
man.
You must got on a purple suit, man. That's why they say you look good clean.
Hey, well, I had to hit him with the pink seersucker today. what I mean?
Yeah, that's what's up, man. It's good to hear. But, man, hey, the Tennessee Titans have been 2-for-5 in the red zone efficiency. Man, what do you think the struggles are for the Tennessee Titans getting field goals instead of touchdowns?
Yeah, if you look at that Jets game last week, they had 2 sacks on third down, and then you also had the botched snap, so that definitely didn't help. I think really, and Jared, we talked about this on Thursday, not having Jonnu Smith, the red zone specialist, he had 8 touchdowns last year. All of those came in the red zone, so they have to find another person that can be that factor. I do give Todd Downing credit for the play design he did, getting Cam back, free in the flat there, and having Derrick Henry as number one on that empty set and the touchdown. Those are the type of things that Coach Arthur Smith did, just moving guys around in an unorthodox way. And that's what you have to see more of, because, let's face the fact, like right now, not having Julio Jones, and last week they didn't have A.J. Brown. They didn't have guys that could just go and whoop the man in front of them, as a receiver. So that definitely has been a factor.
Just looking at the offensive line again, I know Mark kind of touched on it a little bit, but if you look at when the Jets were blitzing, they did a lot of delayed blitzes with their linebackers and sometimes with their safeties. Why don't you think that the Tennessee Titans offensive line are picking that blitz up? Is it communication, or is it they don't see it? What do you think is going on in that situation?
Yeah, that's a great point. And I asked David Quisenberry about that after the game, and he said that there were some things that they didn't expect. Like, they didn't expect the game like that was going to happen. And I'll tell you what, To his credit, it's a little bit difficult to know that because of the way the Jets, they blitz a lot more, knowing that, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones were going to be on the outside. Now, all of a sudden, you trust your guys a lot more on the outside. So you do all of that different kind of stuff. And I think that's really what it was, man. So it was a lot of not seeing that before. And I don't want to say getting surprised, but, that's basically what it was. Unsuspected.
Teron Davenport with us. He's hanging out in Jacksonville. Random question for you, TD, but what is the vibe been like in Jacksonville given the week that they had with all the Urban Meyer drama?
Oh, yeah, man. That place, you know how they have that meme where they got the dumpster and it's on fire? that's what that place has been. I mean, just talking to some of the people I know down here, man, it's a wreck to the point where, they wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer quit today. They wouldn't be surprised if he got fired tonight. They wouldn't be surprised if he's still here at the end of the year. But it's just, it's a very, very toxic situation from what I've been told. Man, I would hate to have that type of workplace environment. It goes beyond just that foolishness, that he had on last week, with the personal issues staying behind while the team flew on, which I think in itself is just horse crap.
Either TD's talking to the same people I'm talking to or everybody's saying the same thing out of Jacksonville, because I've heard that exact same thing as far as it's concerned there. TD, what do you make of John Simon's addition to the roster and not just the practice squad but the full-fledged roster and obviously Bud Dupree still working his way back?
Yeah, man, it meant that Sharif Finch, the guy who I really like, got released. That's tough for him, but, hey, this is the situation. They are very limited outside linebackers, right? You got guys like Derek Robinson missing, on IR. Bud Dupree with his situation, he viewed out yesterday. So, that's what the situation is, man. They need more depth. He's a guy that can kind of hit the ground running because he spent camp here. So it's really plug and play, and I think that's why.
TD, what about the wide receiver depth? After A.J. Brown, who do you think gets the most targets today?
Well, with Nick Westbrook and Kenny not being active, I have to make sure – I got to text Rex Road or call him and make sure he's all right, man, because I know he's in conflict. I would say Josh Reynolds, Marcus Johnson, those guys
Josh
who
Reynolds.
Rotate, at that other spot. I mean, Reynolds can play now. He can play. You saw last week he had, a couple drops there. you got to make those catches. If you want to really make the mark that you're trying to make, but he came through on the third down. So I think he'll get a lot of targets.
The TD comedy tour coming to a city near you soon.
How interesting.
I had to catch myself.
TD, what's interesting about Jacksonville, you've got the whole, Urban Meyer created storm. But then on the other hand, Jacksonville before that, had been a team that had shown pretty steady improvement, from the start of the season. It's interesting to see what happens when those two forces clash today.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I tell you what, if the Titans want to really, make that mark and reestablish themselves as a team to be dealt with in the conference, they need to beat the brakes off of the Jaguars. I'm talking about beat the brakes like the Bills beat the Texans last week. That's the type of win. And I mean, either way, you have two franchises just going like the different opposite directions, man, because it's slow and steady, right? But it's steady for the Titans. And this one here is just rapidly going down like a plane in a bad situation, man.
TD, as always, we appreciate it. We'll look for your full breakdowns. And, of course, you'll be on tomorrow with Darren Donick and Chase and all throughout the week. And, of course, the Talking with TD podcast. Appreciate you, TD. Have fun today.
TMC.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Yep. The Teron Davenport Comedy Hour presented by FreedomTireGuys.com online at FreedomTireGuys.com.
Funny.
I mean, I got to say. I can't get past the thing when TD said, Josh Reynolds, if you go back to last week, and I was like, what?
He's like, well, no.
He caught himself on that one. He caught himself on that
one. That was awesome.
So what TD was talking about, and I have a pretty good feeling. Now, TD knows more people than I do, no doubt. Mm. But I got a feeling that one of the people that TD's talked to in Jacksonville is the same person I've talked to in Jacksonville, who says that the workplace environment, which should come as zero surprise given Urban Meyer's history, the workplace environment apparently in the entire front office is just a nightmare. And that it's really not about what happened last week. Mm. It's been that way since Urban got there. And you heard TD talking about that a little bit too. And like I said, it may be the same person we're talking to. It may not be the same person. I don't know. But it is, I mean, it is bad.
It's really, to me, on one hand, it's unbelievable. And on the other hand, I guess it's not. That Urban Meyer, you know, was arrogant enough to believe that some of the crap that worked at Ohio State on college kids is going to work on NFL players.
That's a great point.
And apparently, some of the players are just laughing at him. And that's just not good. You know, when you – Jimmy Johnson was able to make that transition. And I know that was 30 years ago. But this is why college coaches don't often get hired by the NFL. Matt Rhule figured it out. You know, Matt Rhule sort of understood, you know, how you make the transition from the college game to the pro game. The thing that's funny about Urban Meyer is that he should have realized from the get-go, most players don't give a crap about what he did at Florida and Ohio State. They probably think it's nice and all that, but I remember when Steve Spurrier, you know, went to the Redskins. And I asked Zach Piller, I said, you know, you think he's going to do really well? He goes, you know, and you know, I'm not speaking out of school here. And Zach was exactly right when he said he had all the best players at Florida. He said, of course he was going to win there. He said he's going to struggle because he doesn't have the best players. And when guys like Urban Meyer go up to the NFL, a lot of times they can't handle it. And it seems pretty evident that that's the case in Jacksonville.
Coming up on the other side, our picks to click. Who's going to click today for a Titans victory? Plus, how do we feel about the Titans coordinators? We'll discuss that, and we'll take a look at the sports books and make our game day our predictions. All coming up in the next half hour. It is the pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, Jared Stillman. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Picks to click every week are brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment on the pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. So we start with Chris Sanders today.
Let's go.
On picks to click. Josh Reynolds is Chris Sanders' offensive pick to click today.
Close.
Chris,
yes,
who's got to click on offense today for the Titans to win?
Just because I love you, man, I'm going to go with I'm going with A.J. Brown. The reason why I'm going with A.J. Brown, they need a guy to step up and make some plays. Last week against the Jets, there was no guy that stepped up and made the explosive play. So I think with A.J. Brown being in the lineup, I think it gives the Tennessee Titans the options to go downfield.
After what they had at wide receiver last week, does it not feel like we're kind of putting a lot of eggs in A.J. Brown's basket to go out there and, like, be the savior of the offense in the passing game? And is that fair, given the fact that he's coming off of a hamstring pull and he had some issues with drops earlier in the season as well?
I don't think it's to be the savior. It's just that, you know, the last couple of years he was our top guy. He was our explosive guy. And when he's out of the game, it just takes a little bit of air out of the little balloon. It's still that they can't make plays. Because if you look at last week, you know, I think it was Chester Rogers caught six. You had Reynolds that caught like five or six passes. But there was no plays down the field. Now you have A.J. Brown, who's a guy who's capable of making a play and taking the top off the defense. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Derrick Henry. Because historically, he just has big games against the Jags. He just seems to break off a couple of big runs. He'll have at least one highlight-worthy run today.
Mm. Ooh.
Give me a total.
185.
I 100% agree.
185. I guess I'll go with an offensive pick to click here for me, and I'm going to go with Mycole Pruitt. I think they need some consistency at tight end, and I think that they need to score some touchdowns in the red zone, and they're going to try to get the ball to a tight end, and I think Pruitt's the best of the three, and I think that in the next 2 weeks, he will be clearly the number one tight end of the Titans. Because they don't have any other choice. They can't keep running Swain back out there. He sucks.
Mycole Pruitt.
At least one touchdown today from Pruitt, maybe two.
If you say so.
Hey,
as long as he gives it his all.
He lights it up today. You guys watch. We will run this tape back. Defensive pick to click. Chris Sanders, who you got?
Looking at Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he has seven INTs. So I think one of the secondary guys can have maybe one or two picks. Last week I went overboard and said three. But this week
– Bolton did get an interception, though,
thank
to
you.
Your credit.
So I'm going to go with – I think I went with him 2 weeks ago. I'm going to go with Kevin Byard. The reason I'm going with Kevin Byard needs to step up. I mean, you know, when he first got in the league, you know, he had to prove himself. He proved himself by having three interceptions at Cleveland. He needs to have one of those games that he had in Cleveland and really confuse Trevor Lawrence and get a couple of picks.
By the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, Mark. I'm with you on Byard stepping
up. He's
got to
come on, man.
When you picked Byard as a pick to click, I'm like, when is the last time Byard has clicked?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, for this defense. He hasn't clicked since Dean Pease left. And I don't know if it's a Bowen thing or if it's an everybody else around him stinks thing or if he's a regressed after he got his contract thing, but it's something.
I think it's number two.
There's probably a lot of truth to that.
All right, I'm going to quote, Jared, one of your favorite shows from when you were a kid, The Wiggles.
The what?
I thought you were going to say, like, Cheers or Friends. No. Or,
the Wiggles.
You remember the Wiggles?
I don't remember that. I remember Blue's Clues. What is Wiggles?
Wake up, Jeff. Jeffrey Simmons. I think he's going to have a big game. I think it's set up for success for him.
Wiggles.
Can I ask for a second, what the hell are the Wiggles?
I don't know.
You
what
don't know
the
Wiggles
I never
are?
Never heard of that show.
Oh, my God.
Say the Waltons or something.
They were a little kid group. And when they came to Nashville in concert, you looked at the first two rows of that concert.
The Wiggles.
It was like Jim Schwartz. I mean, just about every influential parent was a part of that concert.
Are you sure that's the right name?
There are very few times.
How old's your son?
Well, my son's 19 now.
Okay, so this was when he was
when he was little.
Okay, see, like.
And he was, you know, he's special needs, so I was able to get him backstage. My son is I used that to get backstage at a Wiggles concert. I used my influence, whatever influence I had, whatever juice I had, it's the one time I used it.
Was for the Wiggles?
Was for the Wiggles concert. And then I looked and I saw that Schwartzy was there. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Just about the whole Titans staff who had little kids were there. That was as tough a ticket as a Titans or Predators playoff game.
Wiggles.
Like saying,
you don't know who the Wiggles are?
I'm trying, Mark.
What did CJ watch when he was little?
Blue's Clues, Barney. I never heard of the Wiggles. I promise you.
This was Barney times 100.
I wonder if Floyd was trying to call a staff meeting and they were like, GM, we can't. The Wiggles. It's the Wiggles concert that night.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to have to look it up because maybe I'm just not familiar with it. I look on YouTube.
Defensively, I'm going to go. It's a tough spot. I'm going to go with Danico Autry. I think he's played pretty well so far this year. And I think that, honestly, he may be one of the best players in the defense.
Yep.
Like, that he may be just – when you talk about all-around game, you know, he does what he's supposed to do. He makes an impact. I think he'll make an impact today. And I would expect to see a sack or two out of him and Landry because I think those are the two guys that are really performing well on that front seven. And if they can just get one more guy, to Mark's point about Simmons, if they can just get one more guy to kind of do that with them, I think they're probably in good shape.
And I think they should because, I mean, I know you're going with – you said Autry, right?
Yep.
Because if you look at Simmons is getting a double teams, right? So the other guys are one-on-one, so somebody else has to step up and make the play. So, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, I think Autry can have a big game, but somebody else needs to step up if Simmons is getting double teamed.
Those are our picks to click brought to you every week by Parman Tractor and Equipment. What do we make of the coordinator situation with the Titans right now? Shane Bowen was an unpopular choice after Vrabel kind of threw him under the bus at the end of last season. And he's been defensive coordinator, and the defense for the first 3 weeks was 15th in the league. Then they got torched by Zach Wilson and Corey Davis last week, and everybody's back to kind of their original feelings about Shane Bowen. Todd Downing, and I think there's a lot of things going against Todd Downing, and you can make excuses one way or another. I don't think Downing has been perfect. Mm-hmm. I think Downing has had some missteps so far. But just the vitriol that I get from the callers and the texters and everything else surrounding Todd Downing, I'm a little surprised by. And then there's Aukerman, the special teams coach, and the Titans have been bad on special teams for 5 or 6 years in a row. So, you know, what do we make of the coordinator situation? Mark, we'll start with you.
I think it's a non-issue. I think it's a fan issue. And I don't think the Titans care at all about what the Titans fans are saying about the coordinators, because the coaches know a lot more than we do. The coaches know a lot more of the whys and the wheres, and they'll make their own evaluation. You know, obviously the numbers are going to be the numbers, and let's wait a full season before we're ready to put somebody out to the unemployment line. I just don't see them making in-season changes. That just seems to go against everything Vrabel stands for since he assumed the role as head coach.
You know, I don't think it's fair to compare Todd Downing to Arthur Smith, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the personnel is a little bit different. And when I say a little bit different, I think the tight end position gave him different formations that he can do to put guys in position to win. Because you look at, I think it was maybe 2 years ago when they were struggling on offense a little bit and they put Jonnu Smith at running back. You can't do that with a Michael Pruitt because he doesn't have that versatility. So when you have a tight end can do those things, then it kind of limits you to just make sure you just put guys in their position as opposed to creating a position.
And Todd Downing's got a couple of headaches to fix. He's got to fix the protections.
Yep.
It's not his fault the Titans have screwed up, the right tackle position. That's not his fault. But they've got to be better in the red zone, and that, to me, does fall on him. And we'll see if they get better today.
And I think the one thing that concerns me about Shane Bowen, because I think you guys alluded to it earlier, TD did. He said that I think it was Quisenberry wasn't expecting a delayed blitz. In my opinion, your coach should basically tell you that to cover every base of what you need to know. Mm-hmm. So if you know that you didn't know that a delayed blitz is coming, the coach is supposed to tell you, okay, in case they do this. Just like I coach wide receivers, even though we play a team that might not play press coverage, I'm going to cover the press coverage because I know that they may show that. So if they didn't get that in the offensive line, that relies on the coach to make sure he does that.
Titans DBs are playing off the receivers last week. Vrabel was asked a question about it on Monday, and Vrabel's response was essentially, that's not what we coached them to do. You know, it was basically and that's kind of been an issue for a little bit. And I look at it like, okay, if you can't coach them to play press coverage and you're calling for it and they're not doing it and you've changed the DBs like they've changed the DBs, then eventually I get a little worried that they might have to make a bigger change, if that makes any sense.
But we had that same situation last year when they were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Sure.
They were 7 to 8 yards off. But the reason why is because if you look at the first game that the Tennessee Titans played in, Jackrabbit Jenkins gets torched off the first play of the game off the press. So I just think that these guys don't have the top end speed to stay with their receivers. So if they stay off and keep everything in front, they can come up to make the tackle. But when you're between 7 and 8 yards off, that means you don't trust your defensive backs.
You don't think, Mark, that
Mark is excited?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you think there's any chance, if things get bad, that they'll fire Bowen in the middle?
No.
And you seem pretty certain that Schwartz has no interest in being defensive coordinator.
I don't think that's what he signed up for. I'm sure if Vrabel asked him, you know, he'd do it, but that's not what he's there for.
What is he there for?
He's there as another set of eyes. A guy who's been a head coach and been a really good coordinator in the league. And, you know, he's sort of an in-house consultant. Jimmy's sort of taken at least one sabbatical year. I don't know if he decides that he's retiring or whatever, but, I don't think he came here to be defensive coordinator. I don't think that was his aim. And he has, pretty much stayed in the background. So I don't believe that's a factor at all. I think you're way overreacting. You know, to Bowen, I don't see what he's done as necessarily, you know, a horrible job. He hasn't had a full hand, since the season started.
Well, let me. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying. He hasn't, you know, I mean, they've had injuries all over the place. And I think they thought at this point Farley would be playing a little bit more. And I think that they feel like in a few weeks Dupree will. So I think that's when you start judging, you know, Shane Bowen.
How do you guys judge defense? Do you judge it by total defense, yards allowed, or do you judge it by points allowed?
I just go with overall defense. You know, that's just my – that's
yards.
Yards. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, a defense that allows a lot of yards but doesn't allow points, they always say, is the bend but don't break defense.
That's how Kansas City is.
Titans. The Titans were 24th last year in points allowed on defense. They're 26th in
points allowed. So have they gotten better?
On defense this year. I mean, I think they've gotten better, but it's hard to argue with that stat right now about all the points they're giving up.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of underlying stats. Right.
Sure, Ryan Tannehill's turned over the football inside his own 10-yard line twice already this year. That's 14 points. That's really not the defense's fault. But I don't see the excuses with Bowen. I mean, I thought that there needed to be a market improvement, and so far there hasn't. And I think it's early, but it's
really early. It's
only, what game is this, Yogi would
game?
Say, fifth. As Yogi Berra would say, the NFL. Well, he wouldn't say in the NFL, but it gets early late. No, what is it? It gets late early. And you lose to the Jets and the Jags, and your defense doesn't look good. It gets late early. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the sports books. How are they trending so far for the Titans and the Jags? Plus, we'll make our game day picks. That's next. We're live from the Corner Pub in Bellevue. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live at the Corner Pub out here in Bellevue. Titans and Jags coming your way at noon on CBS. Time to take a look at the sports books. The latest odds on today's game are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and my official sportsbook app. The Titans are, not surprisingly, the favorites to win today's game. The Titans are 4.5-point favorites against the spread. On the money line, they are minus 200, Jacksonville plus 168, and they are +4.5. Player passing yards, the over-under today, Trevor Lawrence, 246.5. Ryan Tannehill, 237.5. Mark Howard, how do we feel? Tannehill, over-under, 237.5.
Over. I think he's going to have a big day. I think the Titans put up 35 and win 35-20.
I'm going to tell you guys. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm agree with Mark. I say he's going to go over. I think he's going to throw for 300 yards. That's what I think he's going to do.
Really?
Because their secondary is not good whatsoever.
So here's what I feel like is the gimme money. And I'm surprised by this. You laughed. Here's why these give you money. Derrick Henry over under 115.5.
Oh,
surely he's going over 115.5,
you
right?
Would think. But
they know. Vegas knows.
They know. Believe me.
Now I'm worried that Derrick Henry's not going to run for 150 yards or whatever it is.
He's going for 190.
So you would easily put your money on over 150.
Absolutely.
Player receiving yards for the Titans, A.J. Brown, 70.5 over under.
I say over. I think he's going to get close to 100.
Have
it depends on how
he picks
feels.
Over on the Titans every time.
Not every time. Other time.
If you think Tannehill's going to throw for over 300, then
and Derek's running for 190.
Yeah, then AJ Brown's going to have a big day.
Huh?
Anthony Firkser is second on the list at 21.5
yards.
Yes.
Who picked Firkser?
I picked Pruitt.
Oh, you picked Pruitt.
I just picked Pruitt to score a touchdown.
Oh, he's going to – I mean, I don't know. He might not even catch a ball.
Mercer.
I don't know.
Player passing touchdowns, 1.5 for Tannehill. Over, under?
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to go with over. I think he's going to throw two touchdowns and nick them to A.J. Brown.
So 300 and two touchdowns for Tannehill, according to Chris Sanders?
Yep.
Okay, that's a look at the sports books. Again, a look at the sports books. The latest odds on today's game brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app. Use promo code JGM, by the way, with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Time now to make our final predictions on today's game. Who wins and why? It should be just stated for the record that one of us picked the Jets last Sunday.
Oh my God. I picked the Jets to cover. I just didn't pick them to win.
That's not how we do this. One of us picked the Jets. It was me. I think honestly that it was kind of like fearing for the worst pick, and then the worst happened. But it is time now to make our official.
By the way, the Jets are only down by 3, and they're driving.
Yep, exactly.
It's a great coach team right there by the Jets, Robert Saleh. Yeah. I guess the freaking Jets. Our final game picks are brought to you every week by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Shop local, shop social. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Who wins today? What's the final score?
I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans 35, the Jags 10. And the reason why I say it's going to be that big of a score is because so many things are going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, so many distractions, and the game is not focused on playing football. So I think if the Tennessee Titans go in there, establish the run, throw the ball to A.J. Brown, and maybe throw it to Firkser once or twice, I think the Tennessee Titans will blow them out 35-10.
It should be noted, Mark Howard, that Chris picked last week 35-10.
Did I do that?
Yes, you did.
Well, let's go. Let's do it again. 35-10, Titans.
I said 35-20. They will put the squeeze on Urban Meyer.
You think this time next week, is Urban the coach of the Jags?
Yeah, I think unless he resigns, they're not going to fire him because it would cost them a fortune.
Mm-hmm. Even if they did it for cause with all the –
But that's not football related,
is it? But if you've been reading a lot of the coverage – they'll never get him for squeezing a girl's butt in a bar is not cause for termination.
There's probably a lot of truth to that.
It's a bad look, but.
I am going to take the Titans, and I am going to take the Titans big. I'll go 38-10. I'm on Chris Sanders' train. I feel like I don't think the Titans are a bad team. They may not be as good as I had hoped going into the season. I don't think they're a bad team. They lose this game, or this game's close, they're a bad team. I think they're going to show us they're not a bad team today.
What did you say? In the words of the late, great Jim Boughton, in the best book ever written, Ball 4, I didn't think we were a bad team, but they're making a believer out of me.
That's exactly it. If they lose today, they won't. They'll get it taken care of. That's it for us. We're out of here.
Gosh.
We are back next week on Monday,
sir,
for a little Monday Night Football before the Buffalo game. Thanks to the Corner Pub here in Bellevue. For Chris, for Mark,
absolutely,
Jared, we'll see you at TSP at 102.5 again.